Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
And welcome to the show. This week we will review Slacks.
Slacks.
As always, John will give us the plot in five words, we'll give our first thoughts, and then we'll go into a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we're going to talk about what we've been watching this week. And I thought it would be appropriate if we did check in on Justice League. And after watching it last week, we should talk about it. Could talk about it again.
Yes. Yeah. Justice League. Do we need a black and white version? The answer is no. Because, unless people had a hard time seeing what was going on because it got darkened by like 50%, right?
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, I just... One thing that I've been kind of like reading about, I've been reading articles, I've been sending you articles, and we kind of touched upon it before we started the show, was I think it's just really sad that like that this Superman is just like not a good person. You know what I mean? I think that like from Man of Steel, his dad told him to like, don't help people. Don't help people. Let them all die. Yeah. And then, you know, and then he... To where they were showing us an epilogue where he might go, which is basically kill everybody because Lois Lane died. And I just think that like it's just sad that there's just no like there's nothing heroic.
Oh, spoiler alert, sorry.
Oh yeah. Spoilers. Yeah.
At the very end, Superman is carrying a skeleton, so maybe it's not Lois Lane. It could be Rolando A or John F, who knows?
Yeah, I know, right? So it's just like, I don't know. It just, that thought came to me. It's just like, there's just like, I don't understand like this whole like generation of fans are just never going to have that Superman, right? They're not going to have that like heroic, you know, superhero. So
always trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, and that just kind of hit me this week. That's why I was like, man, we got to talk about this.
I never thought about it, yeah. But you're right. They kind of pushed that on Batman a little bit.
Yeah, I think the worst characterizations in like this series of movies, this Snyderverse, is Batman and Superman. They're like the worst portrayed. You know, like they don't. Those are the ones that have the least grasp on.
But yeah, the other thing is like watching or reading the side by side comparisons of like Whedon's version versus Snyder's, and of course I'm not going to remember this stuff. Of course I'm not. I hate to say of course, but it's because you know I grew up in South Texas in the fucking 90s. You know, born in the 80s, grew up in the 90s. So this like inherent like toxic masculinity and like sexism, sometimes I don't see it, sometimes it comes out of my mouth and I'm like, oh, you fucking loser. I mean, talking to myself later, like, why? But yeah, I didn't realize how sexist the first one was, aside from all the butt shots where I'm like, that's a bit gratuitous.
Yeah, Whedon's cut, right?
Like, you're not
compared to Snyder.
Yeah, Whedon's cut. Yeah. Because Whedon's cut, yeah, there's so many like Gal Gadot like ass shots for who knows what reason, maybe because it's Josh Whedon. Now we know who he is, right?
Exactly. But, yeah. No, you're right.
But, yeah, because it occurred to me like, yeah, you never see like Ben Affleck's ass. And even, Joel Schumacher gave you a Batman ass shot with some nipples later, you know, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
The original cut of this movie is because like it progressively just looks more and more sad.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just going to do this, like, weekly check-in on where we are with Justice League. Yeah, yeah. Every week we'll check in where we are and how we're contextualizing this movie.
Next week.
Yeah.
Next week, you know what I realized? What a sad fucking excuse to introduce all seven, like the original seven, but no, it's the original six. Like, no, that makes no sense.
Yeah. All right.
Recut it with Martian Manhunter throughout.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, a little bit of trivia to give you real quick. You know how restaurants, especially restaurants that fancy themselves as high-end, are always going for those elusive, hard-to-get Michelin stars, right? You know what I'm talking about? The Michelin stars. You can get up to three, right? Everybody's heard about this. Everybody knows, you know, every chef wants that. And then they have stuff like Michelin Plate and Michelin... I forgot, but Michelin reviews a lot, right? Two French guys started this in like 1900 or something. These same people are the Michelin Tire Company, and I had no clue. The Michelin Tire Company are the people that give out the Michelin stars. And then when you go up to like look for the Michelin star stuff, you're going to see the Michelin man is like the logo. This was blowing my mind yesterday. I could not stop thinking about it.
Does he have a fucking like towel around his arm and he's trying to welcome you or something?
Yeah, welcome you. Why don't you pull your car up and get a free oil change?
Oh, are you your Michelin star food? Oh, yeah, yeah. Shit. That's funny.
That was... I just cannot get over that. And I'm, I don't know.
I didn't know that either. That's breaking my brain right now. That's incredible. It's the same thing.
Very odd. But good for them. You got to corner the market in certain areas. One's going to be tires and one's going to be food. Yeah.
Cool. So, what the other thing I have on here that we wanted to talk about, we both can talk about, is Invincible.
Yeah.
What you think?
Yes. So, full disclosure, I didn't know what Invincible was. I hadn't kept track of that, you know, and I didn't, I fell off of Image Comics, like, back in, like, I was still a kid, you know. It was, like, Savage Dragon, and then I didn't really watch anything, I mean, read anything else other than that, you know. It was, like, Spawn, maybe, you know. But I was also a kid, and then I guess Image Comics, or Robert Kirkman, introduced Invincible in 2003.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I was, like, not reading comics anymore. Mm-hmm. So, I wasn't aware of this.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't aware that Robert Kirkman was one of the people that co-owns Image. I mean, he didn't found it, but he's one of the people that owns it.
Yeah, he's like the CEO or COO or something like that. He has a big title.
Oh, good for him. Because, like, other than Invincible, I don't think that guy's done anything with television. Right? I'm just kidding.
He has his own imprint. I think it's Skybound. I think that's what it's called. Within Image, whatever he owns.
Oh, cool.
And
okay, yeah.
Yeah. He releases books through that print or label. A lot of really cool ones. A lot of cool Image released books come from his line.
Nice. I mean, he's a great writer. I wasn't aware that this was going to be the project Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg were going to do.
Yep.
I'm guessing. And then they did The Boys instead, right?
Yep. This is the one they've been wanting to do for a while. Long while.
Which I guess they're still kind of involved, right? If I'm...
Yeah, they're the aren't they the producers or creators of the adaptation for Invincible?
Oh, because Robert Kirkman and the other two guys' names are still in there on the title card.
Yeah.
But I wasn't aware of that. Like, I know Seth Rogen does one of the voices for one of like the main characters, or I guess he'll eventually be a main character. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had no clue, so I went into this blind. I was just like, oh yeah, I'll check it out. What, Steven Yeun, Sandra Oh, J.K. Simmons, and I was like, yeah, this is getting better and better. Jason Mudeikis, you know, I just was stoked. And then the first episode, I mean, I guess we should have talked about it right when I saw it, because I was like, what is this? This is pretty good, but it's kind of run of the mill.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the end of the episode happened, and I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. I was like, holy shit. How many more episodes are available? Two more? Let's go.
Yeah.
because that was a great
ending. Does. We won't spoil it here, but yeah, no, it had like an excellent, excellent ending to the show. It kind of sets up, well, at least the first like arc of the show. So I bought I bought a couple of trades. I've been trying to keep up with it. So I think I have a couple here.
And it,
it's very similar.
And Robert Kirkman ended it in 2016, 2017?
Yeah, there's like 20 books or something, 20 graphic novel Whoa. Books. So it had a very long lifespan. The easiest comparison would probably be like a Spider-Man, because he's actually like a teenager, you know? And yeah, and they kind of, Kirkman does a really great thing because there's so many issues. He ages him throughout the series. So he kind of becomes, he's a teenager, we meet him, and then he's like a man with like a family and everything by the end of the whole thing.
Oh, that's so cool. You hear that, Steven Yeun? You better age yourself. It's just his voice.
But yeah, no, the first plot line is the first, like, well, the end of the episode pretty much like, it's kind of like the first couple of issues, the first like six issues of the trade. So.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So yeah, they have a lot of material to like hit. And what's really cool is that they're already mining stuff that will become important later in the show if they continue it. In the first two, three episodes. I've only seen the first two episodes. I haven't seen the third one. So
The third one, again, I mean, got to wait till next week to watch the follow-up, right? But one of the last scenes was another one of those, like, what the fuck moments for me?
Yeah. No.
The show is really good. It's so cool. And the voice actors, like every time somebody pops up, I'm like, is this Walton Goggins? You know, like,
yeah.
Like, it is. Yes.
No.
It's like, Jillian Jacobs. I'm like, oh my God, this is fun. I especially like they took this band called, what's the name of the band? This Canadian band song called Tom Tom.
Mm-hmm.
I think the name of the band is called Holy Fuck.
Mm.
And they took their song Tom Tom and they use it each time that there's a big battle.
Yeah.
But the composer remixes it. So it just sounds a little bit different and a little bit darker during some certain parts. Mm. And the one part that he made it super dark is like when somebody goes to a different planet and goes apeshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very cool. I guess you could say there's a lot of comparison to The Boys in this too.
Yeah, there will be. Yeah, I think when it's a superhero show, but it's not trying to like deconstruct them, but it's also not trying to like romanticize it in any way. Like it tries to be as like grounded and realistic as possible in those scenarios. So it's good so far. It's good. I'm kind of excited to continue with it.
Yeah, me too. Again, I was like, oh, this is okay. Until that last fucking scene, I was like, what?
Yeah, pacing's a little like, the only thing I compare it to, it's not slow, but it takes its time. Does that kind of make sense? Like,
yeah.
It's not, there isn't a lot of score. There's just a lot of like, just whatever, like interactions between the characters. And then when they go do something like hero-ish, like that music you're talking about kicks in. In different parts, and that's like one of the only times you actually hear like music or score throughout the show, which is very like different for an animated show. So
yeah, and then some of their humor choices I find really funny, but I'm sure at the beginning or at the end I've noticed, I mean, it probably only happens a couple times, but anytime they're about to say Invincible, it cuts to the title card.
Yeah, that's cool. That was really cool, too.
This show's good. I mean, I recommend it so far.
Yeah, the same. Okay, so before we get into our review, we're going to go to our ad. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Let's see. I mean, I need to get pumped up for this, so yeah, let's hear this ad.
Do you feel that? The energy? The fear? The self-hate melting away? That's because you are a fucking legend! Call me! Name's Dasher. do it now. I'll motivate you. Amazing. I'll motivate you to be the goddess or god of your dreams. I specialize in turning dweebs into big dick energies. Soft-spoken Sallys into hard-punching Sallys. Loser porn Dexters into who's there? Whoa. They're fucking hot. Don't wait forever.
Dasher, Canada's 13th best motivational speaker out of 13.
You are so badass. Call now, you fucking loser.
1-800-CLAP-CHEEKS.
Please?
Thank you, sponsors. Thank you for sponsoring this episode.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I mean, this... I'll be real with the audience. I think this person actually begged us and paid us to take a spot with their commercial. But whatever. I mean, call them if you want. What was that number again?
Yep.
It's like 1-800-something.
Yep. I
don't know. Clap cheeks, I think.
Okay.
Cool. I mean, should we call him right now? Nah, I won't do that. All right.
All right, John. Are you ready to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Yes, sir. All right. These hopefully are okay. I have, it looks like, 5 of them. And man, if only the audience could see how beautiful my handwriting is. It's like very, very...
No. No, can't see it. I see nothing at all.
And again... And again, Justice League is just foiling all my stuff. Yeah. It's my background. Coming in at number 5, I have hidden cameras in Hollywood store. I wanted to put aloud, but...
No, 5 words. Yeah.
5 words. Yeah. Oh, and then we're going to skip number 4. I've decided it sounds exactly like the one I just said. Coming in at number 3... Capitalism creates another super soldier.
Whoa.
I went there.
Yeah,
okay.
There you go.
Coming in at number 2, denim sucks at blood circulation. Because it's true. Anybody that's worn skinny jeans.
Yeah. Well, been there.
Or if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about more. And coming in at number 1, which I had to check to make sure this wasn't the tagline, because it's just easy, right? World awaits some killer jeans.
Whoa, there it is. Yes. Excellent.
Very cool. Yep. Oh, do you hear my upstairs neighbors taking a shower or something?
Yep. It sounds like torrential downpour coming down on you. So.
So those are my plot summaries.
Cool. So let's get into our first thoughts. What did you think of the movie?
Dude, I liked it a lot. I really, it's kind of right up my alley. There's something to be said about a movie that's written like this. There's no frills, you know. There's no fluff or like extra information. It's just enough information to get the story going. Mm-hmm. There's no guesswork. No, I also appreciated, with the exception of like one character, nobody makes any stupid decisions. Mm. But then this one character, like his, what decision? Oh, I guess I would be going into spoilers. Because I was going to say, like, one guy just keeps doing the wrong thing.
Yeah. He's the...
The other two main characters, I would say. Because I would say the main characters in this, towards the end, because there's... I don't know if... How would you explain this? I feel like I'm just mumbling words. Because I feel like... I feel like it sets up a main character, but then she's not really the main character for a second, and then she comes back to being the main character.
No, I mean, to me, this is a killer pants movie with a message about yeah. labor ethics, about trendy fashion, and you know,
yeah, fast fashion,
fast fashion.
That's what it's called, fast fashion.
So, but it's kind of like. Leaned into this like comedy horror movie, and
yeah, comedy horror slasher, right?
Slasher, yeah.
Like it's got like yeah, it's got all these elements. It's not a scary movie by any means,
no.
But I had a lot of fun watching this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I thought it was kind of fun that, kind of relating to what's going on, like during. You know, the pandemic, a lot of people are at home. They're complaining about not fitting in their pants. That's what you read all the time, like on social media. And everyone's like wearing sweatpants. And then you see people like, and then people not being able to fit in their pants. So it's kind of like they made a movie about killer pants. So,
yeah, they did.
You know, unintentional, yeah. Right? I mean, from what I've read, they've tried for years to like, they were writing it, trying to produce it and stuff like that. So, you know, I thought that was kind of funny that.
Yeah, it just like perfectly fell in line with what's going on. Yeah, you're right. And I got to give them props. Like, Elsa Kephart and Patricia Gomez-Zlata are like fucking great, great stuff. Mm. Like, I thought it was so good. And then the composer, too. I'm going to probably butcher her name. Delphine Mesrock.
No, you nailed it.
The sponsor didn't mean to rip your music. They wrote the track before they saw the movie. Sorry if it sounds too similar.
Yeah,
but I'm assuming she had the same. I mean, she had to. I mean, she composed the thing. There's just something to be said about 80s type of electronic music and like fashion. I don't know, like. Neon lights and I don't know.
Yeah, and I kind of felt like the store itself had like an Apple store vibe to it, you know, like
yes,
sort of.
It's very clean. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And
they did a great job. Like it's got a very Forever 21 feel, but I guess just like you're saying, Apple store, but also they really nailed the whole fast fashion vibe mm-hmm. of these stores. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's high end fashion, but at half the price. I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
they're jeans, right?
Yeah, I feel like this movie was kind of taking swipes at companies like American Apparel or like American Apparel doesn't exist anymore, but they were taking like swipes at companies like that were like, oh, we're like, don't GMO, and we're like this free and this free, and we got like the pants that will fit around anybody's body. It's, you know what I mean? That kind of like marketing. BS that they try to feed you and stuff like that. Companies like this, so.
Yeah, and I saw in an interview, Elsa said that Patricia, early on, before they got into movies, because, man, they work on some, like, cool shit.
Mm-hmm.
She used to work at Gap. So I think that's where a lot of the inspiration come from.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah, we had a... One of our buddies used to work at Gap.
Yeah, now he's working at Trader Joe's.
Yeah,
sorry, Stoker.
We don't know what you're doing
anymore.
Or if you're even okay with us talking about you, but
yeah.
But yeah,
just make sure you don't say Christopher Salier's full name.
Shit. But yeah, no, I mean, I definitely liked the movie too. I thought it had. Strangely, I really like the message of this movie. You know, like I like
the ending. Oh,
yeah. We'll get into it in spoilers, but I really like the sort of message. It stayed like on message, and it kind of delivered it in each point. And I was more interested on like that aspect of it, but I really enjoyed all of the sort of you know, like low tech you know, gene gags they did, murder gags, which I thought was really cool. You know what I mean? And I was reading that they did, like, they had a puppeteer and they worked with, they had so many different types of genes and stuff like that. And I thought that was really interesting. Really, really interesting. And
then they hired, where they were filming in Canada, like the nearest, like, best Bollywood dancer, choreographer, to do the dance sequence. Oh, spoiler, sorry. So the pants dance at one point. And it was just fun to see, like, in the end credits, like, her in the green suit doing the dance. And I was like, that's so fucking cool, dude.
I think...
Just, like, sitting there watching it happen while you're trying to work on this film, I'd probably be like, dude, how am I supposed to focus on anything else?
I think the easiest, the one that gets most compared to right now, well, for me, it's like, it's easy to compare this movie to like something like Rubber, that movie. Yeah. I think it's been already been compared to like it. But I think what's fun about this one is that it definitely leans more comedy, but it's like, it's more social satire. It's not like gags, horror, you know, it's not gags kind of like, jokes. It's more like it's spoofing a certain type of thing in our, you know, culture, you know, this sort of trendy fashion, fast fashion, whatever they called it, you know, and they're trying to accentuate it, you know what I mean? Like do things, accentuate things like murderous pants that like can, are like squeeze, you know, like that are murdering all of these sort of jaded people, like some of the retail workers or some of the social influencers as well, you know what I mean? And
that's why I said like, oh, cameras allowed in Hollywood stores, because I mean, I meant to say Beverly Hills, but that would have been too many words. gotta stick to the five. But like, yeah, you do, there are nice people, obviously they're nice people, but you do run into a shit ton of people exactly like them,
right?
You know, like those, like you were saying, the commentary, I really liked, well, I'll just say the first death real quick, because it's clearly somebody that's gonna do whatever, even if it kills him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's kind of the message for the rest of them too, sort of.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. Very, I don't know. I love this movie. I think I really liked it.
Thought it was very clever, very smart movie that, you know, that, I think it deliberately tries to be like over the top, but I think there's a like, there's a lot of quirks to it, but there's a lot of like fun to be had in this kind of slasher movie. Is that kind of like makes sense?
Yeah. Especially because it's like, it's a contained place, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
There's no, like you're stuck in the store because that's a part of the story. Mm-hmm. And again, like I just fucking... Patricia, the script, fuck yeah, dude. I just, like, everything, there's no guesswork. Because otherwise, I know me. I'm always complaining, like, okay, why are they stuck in the fucking store then? Just run out, break the window, blah, blah, blah. But no, there's a lockdown happening. Because these pants with a very, very Nazi-looking symbol on the butt.
Yeah.
Jeans, pockets. Yeah. Right? It looked like a, I had to Google what this is called, a Schutzstaffel, the SS Nazi symbol, the, mm-hmm. yeah, the, which by the way, I had to Google that and Amelia was like, oh my God, I'm either going to get flagged or QAnon's going to send me a letter going, welcome brother. Like,
yeah.
But I thought that was cool. I guess that'd be one of the things I wish was explained a little more for me, like why that symbol would like fill up every time, I guess it, you know, but that doesn't seem to matter later.
Cool. Do you want to spend the rest of the review just, you know, going to spoilers?
Yeah, I think so. Cause I'm having a hard time. That's why I mumbled my words earlier. Sorry guys. It's just like, I was going to say something and I was like, no, that's a spoiler. Yeah, we can do spoilers. Let's do it.
Wait! No, stop, stop, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers.
What's your favorite spoiler?
My favorite spoiler? I actually really enjoyed, like I said, I really enjoyed the first death of the retail clerk, because
it
hit home for me, because it's that thing where like you try to fit into pants that don't fit, and that feeling you have when you try to either you get them like actually buttoned and you feel that, yeah, these are not going to work feeling.
Yeah.
And this is only just sort of heightened, of course. This is like over the top. The pants actually like squeeze her to death and completely just kill her.
Oh my God.
So.
And dude, yeah, just in general, I think a lot of companies, what they say, it's a certain size, but yeah, they make them like a smaller size on purpose sometimes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, for like male jeans, it's always like that actual waist measurement of like 30 something.
Mm-hmm.
But then for women jeans, it's always like single digit numbers. But once you get to the double digits, it's like, no, that's bad, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But what if there was a gene that it didn't matter? It just like fit you no matter what.
I felt the opposite. Yeah. Like the only time I ever felt like weird about like or insecure was when I went to, I think it was American Eagle. I was like, I'm a large. I've always been a large, no matter what. And then I tried to put on a large, and boy, that did not fit there. So no. So I tried the extra large, and I hate it because it just like, it fits, but it's just long and just like loose everywhere, and it's like very discouraging.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Well, that's why. Yeah, you put on the large shirt, and you know, at this point, you're adults enough to know that now you got to like put your fists in the stomach area and push really hard, and then you got to like stretch out the sides really hard and the stretch of the back, and then the shirt fits perfect.
Then be like, ah, I don't want it. Put it back in the rack. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, man, that first death. Oh, actually, the very first death is. Oh wait, we don't say that till later. That's an epic spoiler. Sorry, because the movie opens up with a young girl, Indian girl, and she's I guess they're in a cotton field, and she's like gonna put the cotton she's gathered up. And I don't know, wherever she's going to go dump it, I guess, because it just shows her walking. And then it shows that sign that said, I wrote this down, Experimental Field 357.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sticker of the company that owns Monday Madness, right? Canadian Cotton Clothers.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, okay. So no guesswork there.
Yeah, we know.
You know, now we know. But I thought that was pretty cool, because for a second I was like, are we in India, or is this supposed to be like also Canada and they're just abusing immigrant workers? Which I'm guessing the latter.
Yeah, it seems like everything they, you know, try to sell their company on was a lie, basically.
Yeah.
That they did everything opposite of whatever they said they did humanely, you know? So, which just kind of gets to the main thing. It wasn't like curly, you know, hard to figure out that once this, that she was going to die and she was going to be the one that possessed the genes, and she was the one that was going to end up going, you know, being the killer in this movie.
Yeah, the killer. So we can finally name the genes. The genes are Kirat. Kirat is the genes.
Yeah, exactly.
Kirat is unfortunately a 13-year-old girl who got her... forgive me, I had to write these things down.
That's okay.
Her Dupata.
Nailed it.
Sorry, guys. Yeah. Dupata. Her Dupata gets stuck in the thing that's supposed to be harvesting the cotton, mm-hmm. which I thought was a little weird. It looked more like one of those things that you put in to shred stuff, right? Like a big, big shredder almost.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. And it just like annihilates her. Like she gets sucked in and destroyed, but now she's a part of these genes.
Yeah.
And luckily all of them. I wasn't sure how that worked out, but yeah, whatever. Like she's now all the genes.
Well, didn't they at the end they say that there could be more people like them because they made
yes,
X amount
sense, yeah.
And so she kind of like was only the first one to wake up, because apparently like the experimental genes all of them, or presumably a large majority of them, are going to be possessed as well. That's what they kind of alluded to.
Sorry, I'm stupid. I was stupid to that information. Yeah, but that makes sense because, yeah, at the end when she's clearly the leader of the genes now, right?
Yeah.
And she does the, and it's just the genes doing this, right? She does that thing where it's basically churn and look at the people coming in through the store and all the genes churn in uniform.
Yeah.
Which I thought was funny because the genes are clothing and they're uniformly churned. A lot of really bad puns coming out of me today. Sorry.
You know, I really liked the Libby character, the main character, like the first character we're introduced to.
Yeah, Libby.
I thought she did a good job of conveying, like,
bright-eyed, bushy-tailed.
You're right. Like buying into what the company.
Save the Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that. There's a lot of like fans of things. You know what I mean? That just become like evangelical, you know what I mean? Like the way people are with Zack Snyder, the way people are with Marvel, you know. And I think it's so funny that a large swath of these people just stick up for these companies, and they're like multi-millionaire companies in the big scheme of things. They don't really mean anything.
That
the fan that
would never ever give a shit about you.
Yeah, but yet they constantly are like sticking up for them and trying to like. You know, like,
yeah, no, I get you.
Yeah. So, and I thought she was similar in that. And, you know, she had like just a young, like you said, attitude to her, you know, inexperienced. And, you know, I thought she grounded it very well. And I thought it was kind of funny that they made her buy, she had last season's clothes.
Yeah.
She had last season's.
Which was only like 2 months ago, right?
Yeah, 2 months ago, yeah. And
what was that character's name? I think he went by Lord. Was telling her, like, dude, like 2 months? That was already 3 seasons ago. Come on.
Yeah.
But I will say, I think my favorite character was Shruti. Because she was just as jaded as everybody else, but mostly because she didn't give a shit about anybody else.
Yeah.
Not because she was stuck up, but because she was like, fuck everyone here. I don't care.
Yeah. And she's worked there a long time. And like you said, she's jaded and. I think if I was a retail person, I think I'd be her. So
yeah, probably. Yeah.
So yeah, no.
If
really...
Christopher Salliers wants to tell us about his experience in Gap retail,
yeah,
she was so funny. I like that scene where Libby is trying to just make small talk with her, but she definitely does say the wrong thing, right? But she mentions I really like this Bollywood song. It's like my favorite, blah, blah, blah. And she just like says that, you know, like out of the blue, which is funny. Yeah. It's like, yeah, people do that shit all the time. And Shruti basically says like, oh, okay. You know, just because I'm Indian doesn't mean I fucking listen to Bollywood music or, you know, Hindi music or whatever. I was like, have you heard of Green Day? And she's like, no, who's that? And it's like, it's a 90s punk band. Yeah.
Which say that's
and
nice.
And then later And then later the whole scene where she's by herself and you catch her and she's listening to that same song that Libby had mentioned.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't listen to Bollywood music, but she's like playing that song and like dancing to it by herself. And then that's when you get the jeans doing the dance in the background.
So they
I think that's the first hint of a personality to the jeans, right?
Yeah. I was gonna just ask like, since you mentioned that they did use like green screen for the scenes where the pants were upright, I guess, where it looked like there was maybe somebody there. Was that what you were mentioning earlier?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. That. But it was like a person in a green suit. And there was like some sort of a rig where, I guess, like rods of some sort are keeping the jeans up, and they're attached to the person. So the person's not actually in the jeans, which I thought was really, I mean, it's weird. They did a really good job of the puppeteering, I thought, because the jeans never look like somebody is in the jeans, but the jeans were never actually CGI'd from what I understand.
Oh, nice. So they're all like,
so the
practical.
Jeans were always practical. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just like walking around, and it's always somebody like walking, puppeteering the jeans.
Oh man,
that's cool.
That is really cool. This movie seemed like a fun movie to to work on.
Oh, dude, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, like, yeah, like the cast, I thought everyone, all the cast was really good. Like, they're all Canadians, too, right? Oh. From what I understand, they're all Canadian actors.
Yeah, I think all Canadian. But we also get everybody's favorite, new favorite evil white guy, Stephen Bogart.
Yeah, he was so good.
Which, as soon as he popped up, I was like, oh, dude, he's going to be an evil white guy again. And technically, he was. I mean, no. There, you could maybe say there's a correlation between how similar the SS symbol looked to the Nazi symbol, and then like a white guy pretending to be a good guy and trying to get like the masses in his favor.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? No, yeah.
Because for a second there, I thought maybe this was going to be like a Aryan takeover film with that part.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa.
That was one of the only things that I will be nitpicky a little bit about. So when the first death happens, the genius dispose of the body like in the bathroom or whatever, and Craig asks Libby, oh, go find all these people that are missing. You know what I mean? And she goes to the bathroom and stumbles upon I think it was
Gemma, right?
Gemma, yeah. And
Gemma with a J.
And, you know, she's in shock, and Craig kind of persuades her to just, like, let the murder go. Like, there's nothing we can do, right? Because they're in lockdown.
Yeah.
And
the conversation was so funny. Should we really be doing this with a murderer out there? And he's like, do you think there's a murderer out there? And then again, they look at the body. It's like split in half, going two different directions. Like,
yeah.
Yes. Oh my God.
I kind of felt like Libby was a little too okay with everything. And it could have just been she was in shock, or she was just like in denial about everything, or you know what I mean?
So. Yeah, that part. But I'm also gathering she's under 18.
Okay. Yeah.
Because she made a side comment about, like, I've been wanting to work here as soon as I turn 16. So maybe that's why they, like, cast this. It was, like, a perfect casting for her to be, like, much smaller in stature than everyone else in the movie.
So, yeah. Oh, I did notice that, too. So that's maybe why Craig, like, manipulated her the first time, right? And then.
Right, yeah.
That's
what my guess is.
That kind of, yeah, that actually does track a little bit, yeah.
Because then the second death, I don't know if they ever find
Harper?
Hunter.
Hunter.
Hunter, right? Yeah. I don't know if they ever find Hunter's body, right?
No, we don't revisit it again. And
I don't think we see what happens to her body, actually.
Yeah, she was.
I could be wrong, but
no, I don't think we. I think she was murdered like in a changing room or one of the other stalls.
Yeah, she grabs the jeans and she tries to put them on, and it's like such a funny thing. Again, like the whole idea of like, even if it kills me, I'm going to wear these fucking jeans or whatever.
Yeah.
Cause they start to like grab on her, and she's like, and I'm like, that would have been my first, like, get these fucking things off me.
Yeah.
Not for me. I don't like it. I'll take the sweatpants again.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so she gets murdered. And, then we finally get the Lord character getting killed. Right.
Yeah.
And his was like, what, his like fingers get cut off first, by or his hands?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, dude.
That was, yeah, that was good.
Which I guess, like, trigger warning to people, this movie is very graphic. It's like very clean, and then it becomes very graphic, but everything still plays as very clean.
Yeah.
A lot of blood, a lot of guts. The one character I forgot about until the after credits sort of scene was, I already forgot his name. The like aloof dude.
Aloof. Good.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, there's this one character that is kind of one of the main floor people that they talk to at the beginning. And every time they ask him a question, he just kind of stares for a second and then says something really off the wall or kind of weird. Because he's kind of, like, dopey or, like, I don't know.
I'm assuming he got murdered when the genes go to the the influencer. Was it Peyton?
No, he doesn't die. He like disappears for a lot of the movie. I think he goes on break or something. And I'm gathering he took a nap in one of the dressing rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Because after the movie ends, there's an end credit sequence where he comes out and he's like, huh? Just looking around. He's like, hello? And then that's it.
Yeah.
So potentially he's the only guy that survives this horrible thing. Because yeah. I'm guessing the genes leave.
Yeah, they're going to go take over the world or something. I don't know.
Something, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a revenge film.
Yeah.
I guess you could actually compare this to like Old Boy or Lady Vengeance.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. I mean, I also like the sequence where they realize that the genes can talk Hindi too.
Yeah.
Where the girl turns to Shruti and she's like, Do you speak Indian? And she's like, you know, India has like over 100 languages.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I do speak one of them. I speak Hindi and a little bit of Urdu.
Yeah.
And then the genes had at this point already adopted a mannequin torso for the upper body, right?
Mm-hmm.
And grabbed some blood and put a bindi on the head, right?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. I liked that whole explanation of why the genes are doing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then finding out the girl was 13 was like real shitty. So of course the genes are going to be pretty pissed.
Yeah. Cool. Did you have any last thoughts before we go to our ratings?
I don't ever want to step foot in Forever 21 again. That's about it.
Well, the original Fashion 21 I Live By closed down, so
yeah. Oh no,
you might be
fuck
okay.
You COVID. You might we be can't okay. Even keep the knockoffs. No.
All right, so how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give?
Don't do that. Just rate the movie. Okay, I will give this 8.5 sexy spooky bones. This movie's right up my alley. You know, I like campy movies too, actually.
Yeah, same. I think I'm gonna I think I'm gonna be more or less the same too. Yeah. I'm gonna do 8 sexy spooky bones as well.
Nice.
Yeah. Fun movie. Really fun movie. All right.
Cool.
Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.